The Midwest is known for its roadside attractions. See the world's largest ear of corn, grab a soda at the largest truck stop. Well, you can add to that list the heartland's many grottos. Most of these man-made caves were created by immigrant priests at the beginning of the 20th century, and one of the most impressive is in West Bend, Iowa. This weekend, it turns 100. Iowa Public Radio's Sandhya Dirks paid a visit to the Grotto of the Redemption.
West Bend, Iowa, population 785, the requisite one restaurant, one bar, one stoplight. It looks like many small rural towns here, surrounded by farmland and grain bins. But if you venture a block off the highway, you come upon something almost surreal, an entire city block filled with man-made concrete caves. Now, imagine every available surface plastered in glittering stones, rocks, petrified wood, even seashells. This is the Grotto of the Redemption, and it tends to leave visitors like Shirley Rammel a little tongue-tied.
It's awesome.
You're speechless.
Yeah.
When you're looking at $6 million worth of semi-precious stone, you know, cemented in, and it's a visual orgy, it almost is unreal.
Peyton Smith works with the Center for Upper Midwestern Cultures. He says, to talk about the grotto, you need to understand Father Paul Doberstein, the man behind it.
You can call him self-trained artist, outsider artist, visionary, things like that. But individuals like Paul, they're different because they built huge environments.
Father Doberstein was really a Renaissance man, a man of faith, a trained geologist, and in the end, a prolific and influential artist. The Midwest is home to the largest concentration of grottos in the world, including three major ones and maybe as many as 100 smaller works, some of them by Doberstein. But the Grotto of the Redemption was quite literally his life's work.
He was had a one-track mind. He wanted his grotto done.
That was his everything.
That was his everything. Morning, noon, night, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Sandy Coolhouse is a guide at the grotto. She tells tourists when Doberstein got pneumonia, he prayed to the Virgin Mary. If he survived, he would build her a shrine. She tells about his many trips to collect rare stones and stalagmites that glitter in the sunlight. During the Depression, when he couldn't afford to travel, he made rocks himself out of melted glass and crayons.
And because he was willing to make the rocks, he was able to work on the grotto throughout the entire Depression.
Across the street, three women are teasing Jane Hanselman for only taking the tour last week, even though she's lived here for 70 years.
My niece is a tour guide, for one thing, and so I just wanted to heckle her. But it turned out I didn't, because it was a very good tour. She's my niece.
Just about everyone in town is connected to the grotto. Many remember Father Doberstein personally. Some even lent him a hand. And they remember when tourists flooded in to see him work. While there are fewer visitors these days, thousands still come each year. Some are rock hounds who come to see what's thought to be the largest single collection of semi-precious stones in the world. Then there's Don Webster. For him, the visit is more like a pilgrimage.
I just got cold chills all over. And when I've studied the history and all of the theology for 5 years in seminary, and then to come here and see this, takes my breath away.
The grotto is turning 100, and despite all its glitter, it's showing its age, because the same environment that inspired Father Doberstein is slowly eroding the rocks and stones here. For NPR News, I'm Sandhya Dirks.
You're listening to All Things Considered.